Let's go up to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled for one episode and is our vantage point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast.
Outside, we couldn't see it from our vantage point.
Wrestling fans, and welcome to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. This is episode number 24, and it is Monday, March 27th, 2017, as we edge forward to WrestleMania. I am Joe Murata. This is Michael Quinn. How we doing, Quinn?
Howdy doody.
Howdy doody. It's almost WrestleMania, Michael.
Wow.
You excited?
A little bit.
You excited to see what's going to happen?
Oh my goodness.
If nothing else.
This is going to be something.
It's
all right.
It's going to be interesting. And we have a couple of great things planned for you folks in the spirit of WrestleMania season. First of all, the Hall of Fame Bites. The next one comes out Wednesday, 2 days from now. We also have Thursday, this upcoming Thursday, the one, the only Scott Keith.
The Scooter.
The Netcop.
He's coming back.
He's coming back. And he'll be here for our WrestleMania special, where we're going to talk about some old WrestleManias. We're also going to talk about maybe this upcoming one.
Possibly.
And we also have another treat planned, do we not, Quinn, for the day after WrestleMania?
Yeah, there's something in the works.
There's something in the works.
There's something in the water.
You want to leave it as a surprise? Let's just leave it as a surprise.
Let's just say it might have something to do with...
with WrestleMania.
The WrestleMania.
This WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Might be able to hear from us about that. So
with that out of the way, let me just reiterate to you folks, as always, catch us on the Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can also email us at OVPPodcast@gmail.com. That is OVPPodcast@gmail.com. And Michael Quinn, we are a bunch of places. Where else are we?
Woof, we are in a bunch of places, huh?
Woof.
We are at the iTunes.
Yes, we are.
Where you can leave a review and let other fans know about our great podcast over here.
Our cool podcast.
Our cool podcast.
As Marcello would say.
If you will. There's Google Play Music.
Yes, there is.
There is Stitcher.
Who cares?
Whoa! Stitcher got it.
Wow.
Actually, Stitcher's good.
They're not that bad.
But I'm not Gorilla.
There's Blueberry.
Yes, there is.
Not Who Cares this week.
Nope.
FM.player.feet, whatever it's called.
Yes. We have video, too.
Yeah, we have video. YouTube.com. YouTube.com is what it actually is.
Yes, it is.
And over there, we got promos and live feeds, and the Hall of Fame Bites are there.
Yes, they are.
All sorts of stuff.
It's
crazy.
And, Quinn, I understand we have a web domain or something that they can check out.
Domain.feet. No. OVPPodcast.com.
That's right.
It is a site that you can see all our stuff at.
There's links and stuff like that.
You've heard of this web. Web 4.0.
Yeah, is that what we're on now?
We're the next generation.
Yeah, we're,
I think we're on 3. But.
Oh, okay. And Quinn, there's another place, and it's actually called The Place to Be.
Yes, it's another website where you can get a bunch of other wrestling podcasts.
Yes.
They got awesome stuff over there.
You're a big fan.
I'm a big fan of the main Mothership, as they say.
The gold standard.
The Place to Be podcast.
Yes.
They're covering all those house shows.
Yes, they are. From MSG 85. They're in 85 right now.
So if you want to hear about that, you can go over there. And of course, there's other podcasts like Clotheslines and Headlines.
Main Event. And we're there.
Yeah, and us, of course.
So we're very thankful for that.
So if you want to head on over there to listen to us, you can do that.
That's right.
You can listen to us twice.
How about you do that? Why don't you listen to us now?
Yeah.
And then also, if you're not on The Place to Be, go listen to us over there and the other stuff there.
Yeah.
And it's placetobenation.com, of
OVP
course.
All day.
OVP all day. Like WrestleMania all day back in 2000.
Yeah.
Except better.
Minus Ivory.
And the coach.
Yeah.
All right. Michael, we have a show to do here. And it starts with what do you think of, so I'm ready. Why don't you ask me what I think of something?
Well, I wanted to bring up a fun personality, an interesting personality, if you will.
All right.
I wanted to talk today about Paul Heyman.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. We briefly touched upon him during the manager's discussion.
Yes, we did. But he is more than a manager.
Yes, he is.
He is a much more than a manager.
Absolutely.
he's probably one of the most influential wrestling figures of his generation, I would say. Not because he's not, Vince is obviously bigger.
Yeah, and Vince, but it's a different generation technically.
He's like the punk generation of
He's
the grunge of wrestling, right?
Yeah, he's more like the Nirvana. Yeah. Okay, how about we call him that?
I don't know.
Offspring.
He's kind of like, if Vince McMahon was the Beatles, he's like
McMahon is the Hank Williams Jr. Yeah. Sure.
Sure.
Anyway, Paul Heyman is a great talent, first
yes,
and foremost.
Is.
He was a tremendous manager. As Paul E. Dangerously.
Yes, he was.
He cut great promos.
They don't have Rick Steiner with his girlfriend out here. He doesn't help the ratings. Junkyard, junkyard dog, he ain't out here. Me, Paul E. Dangerously, I'm out here.
He was so slimy and not likable in a good way.
He had that cell phone with him.
He had that stupid cell phone. He had that stupid haircut.
Yeah.
You know,
he'd always take a hit if he needed to, like, and do stupid shit if it was necessary. Like, I recall seeing some clip where he's, like, in a Mantador outfit or something.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
He would always take the fall, as a good manager should.
Right.
And he
like
was
Bobby
engaging, as like Bobby would. He was almost the closest thing that WCW had to Bobby Heenan.
Yes, definitely.
I would say.
Without question.
He was a great talker. He was a great personality and a great promoter of his matches and his wrestlers.
But more importantly,
yes,
his mind for the business.
Tremendous.
Is something to be said. And
yes,
I think nobody's taken their mind for the business to the level that he did.
Very few have, if anyone.
Yeah.
He parlayed his mind for the business not only into managing, he also, I do want to mention, was a great color commentator, too.
Oh, fantastic. And I think we can get into that later in his career.
Yeah,
because
sure.
Because it was highlighted more later.
It was highlighted in the Attitude Era, but he did it before that in WCW.
Right, he did.
But he's obviously, you know, his big achievement in his career, amongst his various accomplishments, was what he did with ECW after the initial 93-94
when it was Eastern Championship Wrestling.
Yes,
although he was in there when it was still Eastern.
He was there, and he was Paul E. Dangerously,
and
the
he
character.
Had the book, if I recall, but he wasn't his full decisions immediately. However, there is a distinct point in like late 93.
Yeah. So Heyman gets the book, and ECW, you know, that first year of ECW, 93 into about the summer of 94, when it's Eastern Championship Wrestling, it's got a lot of the older guys like Don Morocco,
Jimmy Snuka. It's an average indie fed.
Yeah, and it was an NWA territory.
Yes, it was.
And it was average. It's a very good way to put it.
It was where, you know, older stars went to perform, make a quick buck, and leave, you know, nothing special.
Agreed.
It did have TV. Even then,
it had TV. Yeah.
Like any promote, like this wasn't the time when, you know, like nowadays it's hard to get TV.
Right.
But back then, you know, you could just go
get
to
on
your
a local,
local
channel.
Channel right?
Exactly.
And they were based in Philly. So,
but ECW turned its corner in the summer of 94 when Shane Douglas cut that promo throwing down the NWA World title.
And they can all kiss my ass.
What in the hell is he doing?
And I would say if you watched a lot of the programming, it was building before then. You could see Paul was creeping in, setting these things up.
Yes. His whole idea was what WWF is doing and what WCW is doing sucks.
Right.
It's cartoony. It's dated.
Yes.
And it's time for a change.
And nobody was really thinking this before. It was everything before Heyman did this was we need to just elaborate and build off what we did in the 80s. Don't change anything.
That's what Vince was doing. And even worse, I mean, it turned out okay eventually, is Bischoff was copying that in 94 and 95.
Right.
So basically what you had was WWF and a junior WWF.
Right. Which that's no fun. I mean,
right.
Why would you change the channel if it's the same thing, just with different guys?
And as we alluded to last week, Quinn, rather than try to be the AWF and be another WWF clone.
And I think the AWF was a good example of what happens when you do that instead of what Paul Heyman was doing.
Heyman was like, fuck it. We don't have a budget and we don't have the greatest names in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make this character driven. I'm going to make this story driven.
Yes.
And that's exact. And you throw in the hardcore violence here and there, but that's not all they did.
At first it was there, but I don't think it was what the marketers looked at. When they saw ECW,
yeah,
it wasn't what they sold it as.
Right.
eventually, and very quickly, actually, that became the prevailing thought when you thought of ECW, you thought of violence.
Violence.
But if you go back on the network, which you can now, which is great because every ECW is available, you can see that this was a well-booked, well-oiled machine.
Yes, it was.
Every single character mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And every single match seemed like a big deal, even the ones on like crappy ECW hardcore TV or whatever.
Absolutely.
It was just a fantastic promotion.
And Paul Heyman was the visionary behind all this. What he did with some of his characters and the storylines he did is he took it to a gritty place. You'd have storylines with like Raven and Sandman and Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
The Pit Bulls. You know, there was a lot of this stuff that was going on.
I think some of the stuff that started it off, like you said, was Shane Douglas.
Yes, throwing down the NWA title.
So that kind of set the tone, right? But then shortly after that, they run the angle with the Sandman getting the fire in his face. Mm-hmm. Now, before this, Tommy had been brutally beaten with the bamboo stick.
Yeah, the cane, right?
Yeah, and the Singapore cane.
And
again, that's just another Paul Heymanism.
It was topical.
There had been a recent news story of a guy that had been Singapore caned,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Singapore, obviously, for, you know, some petty crime.
I believe so.
Very small crime. And it was shocking to Americans that, you know, that they would do this. So what does Paul do? He brings a Singapore cane and he has a match where the loser has to get Singapore caned. And he runs it like a serious thing. I mean, and the crowd is like almost crying for him. They can't believe that this
guy
is happening.
Is taking this.
And he's saying, give me more. Yeah. Give me more. You know, yes, sir. May I have another?
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
That was the famous line.
Now, meanwhile, on USA Network, you have Doink the Clown.
Jerry the King Lawler, you finally added Cheesy to Queasy and Sleazy.
Yeah.
And this is the difference.
Right.
This is why Paul Heyman was brilliant at utilizing what he had.
Right. That's true. And just to elaborate again and bring it back to the Sandman point, the Sandman, that guy, who cares? If you saw him in the early days of ECW, you'd be like, what?
Yeah,
like,
it's
kind of like a pot belly, like guy in tights that kind of sloppy
tights.
And stupid. But then he changes him into this guy in Zuba pants,
alcoholic, smoking,
and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, you got a character, and it doesn't matter how good of a wrestler is; everyone wants to pay money to go see him every week.
Yeah, absolutely. And he pulled that off with Raven, with Johnny Polo. You know, he was able to transform characters. We could obviously talk a lot about ECW. We don't have the time to do so.
But I think there's some important points and barriers to hit.
There are.
Like, for example, breaking down the wall of the backstage. And that fire in his face thing.
Yeah.
That led to a whole scene which... The only closest thing WWF to making it feel real like that was the Pillman's Got a Gun, and I think that's what the intention was.
Probably.
But this was the Sandman gets fire in his face, and it's treated like it was an accident.
Right.
And they actually take the cameras to the backstage, and the wrestlers are acting not like wrestlers. They're acting like concerned employees, and this is their fellow employee.
Yeah.
And they're mad at Tommy because he messed up.
Yep.
And, you know, woman, they're calling her Nancy.
Yeah.
And like, it's all backstage, and it looks completely real. It looks more real than anything the WWF ever even tried to attempt, actually.
It was the Vince Russo mentality before Vince Russo.
Right, and it's probably where Vince Russo got it from.
Yeah.
They were in the Philly area, which meant, let's put it this way, the ECW influence could be felt in that area.
Yeah, definitely. But what Heyman did is not only did he, you know, promote these tremendous storylines, build these tremendous characters. What he did is he took this regional nothing promotion that primarily wrestled in small halls and literally a bingo hall.
The joke was a bingo hall. Yeah,
it literally was. They used to do midnight bingo after sometimes.
Right, at the ECW
Viking
Arena.
Hall, yeah. What he did is he got this promotion on pay-per-view.
Which is unbelievable.
He got this promotion, a video game deal.
Yes.
He got this promotion on cable
TV with TNN, even though that was so that, you know, say what you will about what happened to it,
but speaking about how Paul Heyman was able to accomplish this,
yes,
tremendous and, mind and drive and determination.
And there's some negatives there, like of course I know people will say that, you know, maybe he didn't know how to run a business very well.
That's the consensus.
He was a great mind, but when it came to the financial end of it wasn't his forte.
No.
And I've seen a lot of stuff with him. He's the first one to admit he was running it by by the seat of his pants. He was doing his best. And you know what? Another thing I like about Paul with the way his management style was, though, is that he taught so many people how to do everything in the business because they were running a promotion out of the back of a truck, basically.
Yeah, the little promotion that could, you know?
I mean, the great stories about Taz designing the t-shirts.
Bubba Ray Dudley doing bookings and stuff like
Bubba
that.
Bubba Ray,
you know,
was like his right-hand man. Yeah. And to see these guys, because they had done all, Tommy Dreamer was selling tickets.
Stevie Richards was doing stuff.
The hotline.
Yeah, the hotline.
And he was Van Buren on the hotline. But to see that all these people got taught, and if you notice, Paul's influence on them to teach them how to do this because he couldn't, or he couldn't do everything.
Yeah, of course not.
Those guys have a life in the business because of him.
That's a very good point.
You will never see Stevie Richards go away because he really does know how to run things.
Or Bubba Ray Dudley.
Or Bubba Ray, yeah.
Tommy Dreamer.
Any wrestling promotion in the world would hire those guys as they're older, not as wrestlers, just
no,
to run
things. As someone to run things.
So his influence is ridiculous.
It's far-reaching, further-reaching than meets the eye, I'd say.
Yes.
You know, I would definitely say that. This is a testament to his legacy, let's say. The fact that you can say ECW and people know what that is.
Still you get ECW chants to this day at WWE events.
Yep.
That's all you got
to
say.
That's
really
a huge testament to what he did there. That's not all he's done.
Right.
When that promotion closed, he hopped over to WWF.
And also, we'd be remiss not to mention that after that promotion closed, there was a period of, I think Heyman was at his lowest as a person,
personally,
as a businessman,
yeah,
just a person in general. I think he was hated by a couple people. A lot of people were mad that he failed to keep it going.
You know what? Bad decisions aside, there's no way that promotion was going to last forever.
It just wasn't. That man was running everything, and he was running it on no sleep.
Yeah.
If you saw him in the last months of ECW, he looked horrible. Like, and he tried everything he could to keep that company in business.
It just wasn't going to happen.
No.
And it was never designed to.
But you can't say he didn't try.
He tried, and he did great. He also was a great commentator in the Attitude Era. He was part of the Invasion angle.
Right.
But obviously, his most notable post-ECW thing is what he's still doing now.
Right.
And that's as a mouthpiece for Brock Lesnar, which he's been since the beginning of Lesnar's career.
Which is awesome that they still keep that continuity there.
Yes.
However, he also started doing that with CM Punk, the in-between.
Absolutely.
And that was another notable position.
Absolutely.
If you will. And I can't say enough about how good it showed that his managerial skills were always there.
Always there. His
promotion skills.
His promotional skills, the ability to know and connect with your audience.
Right. He seems to, even at his older age now, he's not old,
but 51
he's,
or two.
Yeah, he's in his mid-50s, but he still has the pulse of the people.
And that's rare that you find someone that can sustain that ability for that long.
Right. To be honest with you, to this day, I still don't know why Vince has such a problem with him running even a segment of the WWE.
I don't know that Paul Heyman wants to. He has his own business. He's there strictly as an employee to advocate, as he says, you know, for Brock Lesnar.
I'm just thinking back to the one part we didn't mention, the one really bad part.
When he was running ECW.
The new ECW. And this wasn't his fault. This was Vince wanting to make the new ECW something that it wasn't. And he gave it to Paul thinking, oh, Paul's going to make it successful again. And when Vince didn't have Bobby Lashley winning championships on ECW, he was like, what's this? This isn't what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know,
the thing is that a guy like Paul Heyman is not designed to have anyone above him to do the type of work he needs
to do. If you're going to hire a Paul Heyman, you have to say, I'm not in control of this anymore.
And Vince can't do that. And that's fine. But I do appreciate that Vince recognizes Paul Heyman's ability
to
promote.
The door is always open to Paul Heyman, if you've noticed over the years. No matter how many shakeups Paul's had with Vince.
Yep.
You know, he was paying Paul in the ECW days.
Yeah.
Even when Paul was talking crap about
him. Even though he doesn't want to admit it, it's true.
Because he knew that it was vital to keep Paul open.
Yes.
To make talent come to him.
Yep. So to sum him up, Quinn, I would say, as a manager, great manager.
Fantastic manager.
One of the best, as we've said, you know, last week.
Yeah.
As a commentator, great color commentator. As a promoter of a promotion, one of the best, because
he
was successful at doing something that honestly, that little shit promotion
shouldn't have had any
had
business.
No
yeah.
business.
And on the other hand, just to be fair, you know, he did have his woes, I guess you'd say,
he
with business.
He certainly did.
And he wasn't,
wasn't perfect.
Wasn't without warts.
Absolutely.
However, the end result for the fan is pure brilliance. It's great.
I think that sums it up perfectly, Quinn. His influence is widespread. It was the reason, partially, for the Attitude Era.
Right.
Without Paul Heyman,
there's no Attitude Era. I've said this before. Without Paul, it really isn't there.
No. And without Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar is not what he is. No question about it.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like Brock Lesnar's just a footnote, honestly, on
Paul Heyman's career.
On Paul's everything. Like, yeah.
I think he is one of the best minds and personalities that the business has ever and will ever seen. Back after this.
Austin is a sick, no good son of a dirty.
You know, if you want a job in the Alliance, I can put in a good word for you with Steph and Shane and with Stone Cold, because it looks to me like you're running out of WWE superstars.
I wouldn't.
He's being carried off.
I'll get out of the business and go back to Oklahoma and go to a football game. The bottom line here is Austin is paranoid. He is sick. He didn't give Angle any warning when he threw him off that stage. He's a sick human being, and he's running scared. He stole the man's medals. Oh, hey, look, if the roles are reversed, Austin would have thrown Angle over the bridge. And Kurt Angle didn't throw Austin.
You're telling me that Kurt Angle would have thrown Stone Cold off that bridge?
Right.
What, are you out of your mind?
No, I'm not.
Well, let me tell you something. Kurt Angle would have thrown Stone Cold off that bridge. Stone Cold
had
himself
a kiddie pool.
Oh, please, get a kiddie pool to fall back into. He was going to throw Stone Cold off the bridge. Steve Austin is alive today because of his great self-defense.
Right. That's a bunch
you
of crap.
You ought to have more respect for Stone Cold.
I'm not
going to
respect for Austin.
Why not?
Even less for you. And I'll tell you this. On the it's Unforgiven. Austin's going to get his ass whipped. He's going to get his ass whipped in Pittsburgh.
By who?
And he knows
by Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle.
By Kurt Angle.
Get up there.
Get out of your mind.
Kiss my ass.
Hello, wrestling fans. Joe and Quinn here. We are actually cutting into this regularly scheduled episode to just tell you something real quick, aren't we, Quinn?
Yes, we are.
Folks, last Wednesday, the wife of Jim Ross unfortunately passed away.
Yes.
And first and foremost, I want to state that our prayers are with JR and his family.
Yeah, definitely.
This is a tragic accident, and it is something that's very sad. And I know that we're not alone in voicing our support for JR.
Yeah, so our prayers are with him.
We wanted to do our due diligence as wrestling fans out of respect for Jim Ross and mention that. In this episode, you will hear discussion about JR, and not in a negative light.
No,
but you
not at all.
You will hear him discussed, and I just wanted to make sure it was very clear that anything said, which again, not negative, was pre-recorded.
Yes.
So we just wanted to be fair here and break protocol and mention that our condolences are with Jim Ross and his family.
Yes.
During this period of time.
We're with you, JR.
We're with you, JR. And now we present you with your regularly scheduled episode of Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. And welcome back, wrestling fans, to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. This is episode number 24, March 27th, 2017. Thank you so much for being with us. Quinn, it's time for our next segment.
Yes, it is.
We're going to put a few things on Mount Rushmore and send a few things down to Death Valley today. And it's my pick, which I'm very, very excited about.
I know you are.
I've been hyping it.
Champing at the bit, if you will.
Thank you. So today, Quinn, what we're going to put on Mount Rushmore and what we're going to send to Death Valley is professional wrestling commentators.
Ooh, here we go.
Let me explain the criteria real quick, just to be clear for the folks at home and for you. Four of the best, four of the worst, right? But
however,
not play-by-play specifically or color commentary specifically. We're just talking any commentator, the best of the best.
Right.
So theoretically, we could hypothetically wind up with four color commentators on there. I don't think we will.
Very hypo. Yeah.
A lot of hypo.
Yeah.
But so there's no distinction drawn is what I'm trying to say. It's,
right.
It's just four guys that you want behind the mic.
This isn't some dream commentary
no,
team.
No, no, no.
It's not four that a four-man commentary team would ever be a dream because just go watch SmackDown. But
yeah, exactly. Quinn, since I have the pick, I give you the stick. What do you want?
So, I'm going to go with the obvious first.
Who's that?
Gorilla Monsoon.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
He is the inspiration for our show.
he does make quite a few appearances on here.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gorilla Monsoon along with Bobby the Brain Heenan.
A lot of gorilla isms.
He's always hanging out.
He's always just chilling.
Yeah.
Let's see. We did discuss him in detail already.
Yes, we did.
He is ridiculed by the Observer followers, you know,
yeah,
people that
in
like
1992. They're not ridiculing him anymore when they have to deal with the likes of like Byron every day.
Yeah, that's like, true. David Otunga.
Yeah.
See, I want to put him on there like as a knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
But I think we need to.
Want some more discussion?
I think we need to discuss more.
Give me a break.
Okay.
You and I have already made our feelings clear. Hey, Gorilla is the voice of the classic era of the WWF.
He is. I think that's a good argument alone for why he would immediately be on Mount Rushmore.
I think you're right. I mean, the criteria is who do you want to hear announcing a match, right? Not necessarily who knows all the names of all the moves and all this crap.
Right.
Who do you want to hear? Whose voice do you want to hear?
Right.
Will you stop?
Yeah, I mean, okay. With that as the criteria, Gorilla
is the easy pick.
I don't think I ever complain about Gorilla being behind the mic.
I don't think so. There's nothing he's in that I'm ever like, this sucks.
I wish this wasn't Gorilla.
Right. I don't understand why he just wouldn't. He's like kind of like an automatic. I think what's harder with the Rushmore is that you don't have as many spaces. But however, even that being said, I think Gorilla is an easy, like, George Washington on this thing. Like,
well, he is probably going to be the oldest one.
Yeah.
Now, you remember, if we put him on, we can't take him back.
I know we can't, but I can't conceivably see him not being on the Mount Rushmore.
I mean, some of the things that define him as an announcer, besides his little catchphrases, to me, and I think we've said it, WrestleMania 3.
Right.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
The irresistible force meeting
anything
the
with
immovable
Bobby.
Object. Anything with Bobby Heenan. Will you stop?
Right.
You know, I mean, how do you even like
I mean, how about
get
this?
Around
how
that?
About this? Before we put him on, let's just talk about some of the other best.
All right, I'll throw one at you then.
Okay.
Jim Ross.
What the hell is this?
Yes. Oh, man. Jim Ross, yeah. I think Jim Ross gets a lot of crap from Vince McMahon, like I've said, but he gets a lot of crap for like his yelly phase.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
My God.
Oh my God. And all that.
By God. Basically. Yeah. That era. Booger that, Red.
Booger Red.
Hoss.
Yeah. All the nonsense he always says.
He always called Edge Christian, no matter what.
But, you know, like at the end of the day, JR is like an all-time great.
He is.
Like,
and he did it in two distinct eras.
Right.
He was in the 80s and into the 90s, the NWA WCW announcer, and he was very much in the vein and in the mold of Gordon Solie.
Yes, he was.
Very smooth, technical.
Here comes a gut wrench, and the impact focused directly on the lower back. Austin again, and he can't hold it.
Call the wrestling moves, but he was able to transition into the Attitude Era.
Yep, the yelling era.
But sell the drama and the emotion.
Well, yeah, I'm saying that like
it was.
Like, I'm not saying that in a negative way.
I know you're
I'm
not.
I'm saying that like I kind of like that he would freak out
because
it's like that's exciting. You know what I mean?
When
Austin's doing anything ridiculous,
I was
like
say,
I want to hear JR say that
when Austin won the title for the first time.
Austin wins. Austin wins.
Mike Tyson in! Austin is the champion! Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold!
JR's the voice of that.
Yeah.
Hell in the Cell 98.
Right. Yeah.
JR.
Yeah.
Oh, man! The God Almighty! The God Almighty! They killed him!
Oh, my God.
As God is my witness, he is broken in half!
WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
JR.
And just the voice of Raw.
The voice of Raw.
When Raw was at its peak.
When it was can't-miss television.
Right. That you always heard JR. There was never a day where you didn't hear JR back then.
I know, and he was incredible, and he knew how to sell the matches, sell the moves, put everything over.
I want to propose one, even though we have JR.
And we have Gorilla
nearby.
Gorilla, but no one's on yet.
There's one that I think might be a little controversial being on there, but I do think he could be in that territory. The King. I know a lot of people don't like The King, but The King is really good when he's on.
I would say if there's a top 10 list, he might make an appearance at number 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I don't think he's top 4 material.
I wasn't sure either, but I just wanted to put him out there because I think, at the very least, I don't think he's going to make Death Valley.
He won't.
But I'm not sure if he's going to make Mount Rushmore.
Puppies, JR!
You have to compare him to Bobby Heenan, and that should be your answer right there.
Right. But I mean, you got 4 spots, so theoretically, say you had 2 color and 2 play-by-plays, then, like, King could possibly be in there.
Not when Jesse Ventura exists.
Right, and that would probably be the next one to bring up.
I would say, for my money, Jesse Ventura, and again, he was mainly a color comment. He did sometimes do play-by-play. It was weird.
Forearms, he goes for an Irish grip. Reverses it. Wow, and throws the Funk Brothers together. Chico Santana's into the ring, and both the Funks are out onto the floor, and Jimmy Hart's going to have to get him out there and regroup him, Lord.
He was good at it, but
right.
Jesse Ventura is one of the greatest wrestling announcers of all time.
He is.
Literally one of the greatest of
all
time.
And I'm not going to sit back here and say King is better than Bobby or Jesse, but I just wanted to put him out there because he's JR's companion when it comes to commentary. It's like, it's hard to think of JR without King. And I really think that because I think JR suffers when King's not there.
I think King suffers more when JR's not
there. I do
there.
Too, but I think they're both, when they're together, it's magic. You
it's
know?
Magic, but I don't think King is a better announcer than Bobby Heenan. And I've heard Heenan with Jim Ross.
That's
know, and,
true.
And,
yeah.
And JR doesn't lose a beat, you right. know, and Bobby Heenan's good.
But
with
Bobby's kind of leading in that
most
case.
Most everybody. Yeah, that's true. I mean, all right. Well, we have omitted one. Right. I think, in my mind, and it's Gordon Solie.
Well, thank you. Thank you so very much.
So, I mean, as much as I'm not a fan of the souple.
A high vertical souple.
But why, really? Come on. I know that he was great in his time, but the problem with that is that people came along at play-by-play that were just simply better than him. I mean, when I listened back to him, I swear, this is going to sound really bad,
okay.
but sometimes I'm like, this is worse than Cole, like, because
really?
It's so boring, and that's nothing against him. I understand. It was just a different time, but can I say he's on Mount Rushmore? No.
Really?
No.
All right.
I can't stand for that.
Let's run through here any other potential candidates before we start narrowing it down.
I'm going to say one again. This is a controversial one. Vince McMahon himself.
More ridiculed than anyone we have mentioned.
Yes.
More bombastic than anyone we have mentioned.
The Ultimate Warrior, the Macho Man Randy Savage. What a matchup! What a SummerSlam!
But as you said before, he could put over the product.
Absolutely.
Better than anybody because it's his product.
Absolutely.
You know?
I think. If you're going to say Vince McMahon, though, Tony Schiavone.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tony Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone. Yes.
He was excellent.
He was excellent. He totally could put over anything. And he, again, ridiculed a lot. But
yeah,
I think for the wrong reasons.
Unrightfully so.
Yeah, I think for the wrong reasons because a lot, he didn't own the place, so he can't, if somebody tells him you gotta say this, he's gotta say
this.
You
gotta say it, right?
And he worked for the dumbest place ever, so of course he was saying the dumbest things ever. Like, I mean,
fair.
It's true.
But he was a great announcer.
Yeah. I mean, he could shill any garbage that WCW was putting over, like the Kiss Demon or something. Like,
yeah.
it didn't matter. Schiavone could handle it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the debut of a brand new wrestler from Kiss is right upon us.
Now, you don't put Mike Tenay in this discussion, do you? As
no,
one of the greatest.
No.
Joey Styles. He was good at what he did.
Let
but...
me say this about Joey Styles. He's one of the only guys, and I know Gordon would do it by himself sometimes, but I think Joey Styles perfected the one-man team.
Like, he was good at it.
There's no time when I'm watching a show with Joey Styles and his one-man crew on ECW where I'm like, this isn't good. Like, I
That's
actually,
true.
Like, that, to me, takes a little bit of skill.
It does.
That, like, he could, for, like, many years, carry a commentary crew on it by himself.
I'll give him that.
Does it put him on Mount Rushmore? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
He is a more specialized case. he's not a Death Valley.
No, but definitely
he's
not.
He's just below Rushmore.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I think, Quinn, I'm going to solidify a pick here. If you're okay with it, so am I. Jesse the Body Ventura Mount Rushmore.
First, huh?
Yeah. There's no question in my mind. He's one of the best announcers ever. He knew how to be funny, but he also knew how to sell every aspect of a wrestling match.
I put Jesse there, but I also think we should just solidify Gorilla at this point.
Well,
I mean, we've gone through a lot of the straight man.
Let's put Jesse on right now.
Okay.
Because we have to.
Yeah, we have to.
We have to put him on. Yeah. There's no way around it. He, in my mind, is someone that I'm never, ever disappointed to hear Jesse Ventura.
I've never heard anyone say Jesse was bad, ever.
Ever.
It's rare. Some people, you know, I have people heard people say that there's stuff they dislike about Bobby, like later in his career when he might spoil stuff or whatever.
And obviously we've heard bad things about Gorilla and Jim Ross.
But Jesse, I've never actually heard a negative about him from anybody. And I mean, I agree that he's great. So
he's one of the best I've ever heard.
I guess that does make sense that he would be the first in, because if there's no negative, then it's hard to not.
He could sell the sporting aspect of it, the wrestling aspect, the athletic, the storyline. He was a realist. People always call him the first heel commentator, and he did lean towards the heels. He was, in my mind, the first smark commentator.
He was the first honest commentator.
Yes, because he didn't put up with the shit.
Well, what I always liked about Jesse is that if, for example, he liked the Macho Man when he first came in as a heel.
Yes.
But when he was a face and he was the champion, he was still I was on the Macho bandwagon before anybody, and he would still hope that he would win.
You know, I've been on the Macho bandwagon a lot longer than any other announcer here. I realized the talent this guy had 2-3 years ago.
He still liked Macho Man.
Right, exactly.
He appreciated good wrestling. He did not like hypocrisy. He called out Gorilla on it. He called out Vince on it.
Yep.
That was revolutionary.
Wait a minute now.
He's humping Sherry.
That's illegal. That is illegal right there, Monsoon. It certainly is. He has no right to put his hands on Sherry.
Yeah, no announcer would have logic that actually would be in the real world.
Yep, and he had a great voice. He just, the drama, he could sell the drama of
something.
And
he just was deliberate. He seemed like he cared about what he was talking about.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Right. He was very good at seeming like he cared, because I think he did. I think he cared about his job.
He did.
He was great at it. So he's a no-brainer, in my opinion. Now, let's go to Gorilla here.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to agree with you.
Yeah.
You know how he's my favorite announcer.
He's our favorite for both of us, but all that aside, I think you can still say he's one of the best straight men. He just knew how to deliver what he needed to say.
He was a voice of a generation.
Yeah. I mean, he's very versatile if you think about it, because I even love his stuff with Johnny Polo.
Me too.
You have to know that he knows he's being made fun of, because he was quick.
He doesn't care.
And that he could play in anything. And even even seeing the stuff in his later career always put a smile on my face. When he didn't care as much, and he was on Superstars in 98 or something.
He didn't give a shit anymore. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to be getting excited about President Monsoon about WrestleMania and Mike Tyson.
Boy, oh boy, it is going to be a classic. Probably one of the greatest WrestleManias in the history of the World Wrestling Federation, and the enforcer, Mike Tyson, certainly will make his presence felt.
You know what speaks volumes to me about Gorilla is that he is a part of the two best WWF commentary teams, in my opinion, with Jesse Ventura and with Bobby Heenan.
Right, and the fact that he's with both kind of says something.
He was the guy Vince trusted to do the pay-per-views.
Yes.
And guess who did him after Gorilla? Vince.
Right.
It took Vince a long time to let that go.
Right.
Until the Attitude Era.
So, and Gorilla was the only person he trusted, really.
Gorilla was really one of the few people he trusted.
Yeah.
That I don't think he gave any shit to.
No. I mean, Gorilla was his senior.
Yeah.
Honestly.
He
was one of the rare people that could probably say no to Vince McMahon.
And he probably did sometimes.
Yep.
And he was a great announcer, and I love hearing his voice. I'm going to go with you, Quinn. Let's put him on Mount Rushmore.
Let's do it.
All right. Oh, there it is.
Ah, there it is. The Gorilla Man.
We've got two left, Quinn. So who are we kicking around here?
Well, the ones I'm thinking of right now is JR.
Yeah.
And Bobby.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking there's no way King can make this.
No, King can't make it.
Gordon Sully's out, huh?
Be, yeah, I can't have Souple be around. no Souple involved.
No Souple.
I know we have fans of who love Gordon, but...
You're really not feeling him, huh?
I can't. All really. Right.
I'm not going to fight you on that, trust
me. I can't
me.
Really, like... I feel like it seems, like, almost obvious. Like, the only two could be Bobby and JR.
Now, you threw Vince out there, but he's not better than either of them.
No, he just isn't.
Let me put it this way.
I think Vince is close. Like,
Vince
I think
is close.
He's very close. It was, like, surprisingly close.
Vince is close, but if it comes down to wanting to hear JR and or Vince, I'm going to go with JR.
Right.
That is, I think, a good way to measure it.
Right.
You
and,
know?
I agree. And Shivani.
See, Shivani's great, but we got Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
Like, JR's up there. He trumps Shivani.
Right.
Throwing JR on there?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the other voice of a generation. Yeah. He was the voice of the Attitude Era, for crying
and
out loud.
And WCW for a while.
And WCW for a while, so I think he's got to be on there. Let's put
Definitely.
Him on. Okay. All right, so we have one more.
Right. I can't believe Bobby's being a struggle to put on.
But you see why, right?
It's only because of the other guys, but I mean...
are so good.
Okay, are you going to put Shivani above Bobby?
Body of work?
Yeah.
Now, so this is why it's interesting, because as a color commentator and a play-by-play guy. Now, I want to defend Bobby here against some of the criticisms I've heard.
What, because that he spoils matches?
No. Stop that. That he didn't. They didn't know the finish, first of all, the NWO thing.
Yeah,
they didn't know
ahead
of time. No,
that's the one that everyone brings up. That the strike against Bobby always is the, but whose side is he on when Hulk Hogan's coming to the ring?
Come on, whose side is he on?
Second of all, it's fucking WCW Bobby Heenan. No one cares about him. No one cares.
Yeah, no one.
It's WWF Bobby that we're talking about mainly.
And he had a couple more flubs on WCW, if I recall, Hog Wild not being...
just being drunk.
Yeah.
Let's hear a clip of that right now.
He's doing something with our minds. He's messing with our minds. I managed Andre the Giant against Hulk Hogan. In front of 93,000 people.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah.
So let's go back to... my defense of Bobby Heenan here. A lot of the criticisms I have read about him is that he was only comedic and he was only funny and he never sold anything serious. That's not true.
No, that's not true at all. And I've heard him on house shows plenty of times discuss about even people he doesn't like, how they could be a threat. And just the fact that sometimes the contradiction with Bobby was is that if he's talking crap about somebody, it's generally because he considers them a threat. Like, and you knew that. Like, you knew Bobby's a big coward.
Yes.
So the people he didn't like were obviously threats. That should have set alarm bells off to the viewer. They were conditioned to know that Bobby was a big coward.
Right. But here's where I think we have to put him on. You ever watch Royal Rumble 92?
Oh, it's like one of the finest broadcasts by any two commentators ever.
Former Intercontinental Champion! Former Tag Team Champion! Federation champion, and he's got as good a chance as anybody.
You ever watch WrestleMania 8?
Ah, reverse neck breaker! Get up! Get him up, perfect! That'll buy Savage a little bit of time! Get him up! Some well-needed time! Get him up! Give me something to drink. Somebody give me something to drink. Give me some water.
Specifically the Flair match?
Right.
He is selling the match. He's not being funny.
He could put himself in the match.
Yes.
That's something that you can't say about a lot of guys.
Now, I personally don't think, Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think Jesse Ventura is an overall better color guy. I really do. He's not as funny as Bobby Heenan, but I think he's better.
Yeah, because he adds the wrestler insight a little bit more, even though Bobby knows, but it's like he's a manager at the end of the day.
But Tony Schiavone, if we compare him to the play-by-play guys that are on there, Gorilla and Jim Ross, he is behind the two of them.
Right.
Bobby Heenan is almost neck and neck with Jesse Ventura.
Right.
So
I think it's a no-brainer. It's got to be Bobby.
I think if you're cool with it, I will turn my key with you and we can put Bobby Heenan on, because that's a voice that I'm also never disappointed to hear.
No. When you hear Bobby, you're ready to go. It's going to be a fun time.
It could be a fucking Boston Garden House show.
Yeah.
It could be Maple Leaf Gardens, whatever it is.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think it's two different modes with Bobby and Jesse. I don't think it's two different, like, one's better or one's worse. I think it's just like it's a different style.
It's a different style, but I still think Jesse's the overall better announcer.
Probably.
Not by much.
Not by much.
Though. Not by much.
Yeah.
And my favorite team is Gorilla and Bobby.
Oh, no doubt about it.
But Jesse and Gorilla are right there, too.
So, okay, there we go.
Bobby Heenan.
Bobby Heenan.
Is on there. We've done it, Quinn.
So the final Rushmore is...
Jesse Ventura.
Bobby the Brain.
Gorilla Monsoon.
Yep.
And Jim Ross.
Jim Ross, there you go.
That is a good top four.
Yep.
Folks, why don't you let us know your Rushmore of announcers?
Yep.
Quinn, they have a couple of ways they can email us, but they can also tell us on our website.
Yeah, there's a comment section on the website. All you have to do is go to ovppodcast.com.
Yep.
And you can look for the entry for this episode, and there's a leave a comment, and you can just do it right there and let us know what you think.
Yep, and of course, we also accept tweets.
Yeah, of course.
we take tweets.
We accept everything.
So let us know, folks. And now, Quinn, let us move on to Death Valley. This is going to be interesting.
Yes, it will. I think you should say some criteria here first for Death Valley. Because
we could go in a lot of directions here.
Yeah, I mean, there are some stinkers out there.
All right. It can't be someone, like, immediately coming to mind, maybe for people, is Art Donovan.
Right.
How much does that guy weigh?
Gorilla, is he dead? What's he going to do, throw him out of the ring?
Art Donovan's the immediate go-to, right?
That was one time.
Yeah.
I'm talking about someone that did this enough that they were, like, considered a color commentator or a play-by-play announcer.
Now, what about, like, Mike McGurk? Does that count? Are we pulling that in? Is that enough? Because she didn't do just one. She was there for a couple months as a commentator.
I mean, I guess we could, but I'm not, all right, I'll throw one at you, okay?
Mike McGurk, no.
I don't know.
She just doesn't count, right?
You can throw her at me, but let me give you one. Here's the type of thing I'm talking about. Larry Zbyszko.
Oh, man.
That is someone I don't want behind the mic ever.
Larry Zbyszko is the worst thing. Well, he's not the worst. I wouldn't say he's the worst ever, but he's pretty bad.
Well, can I just say this?
Yeah.
New World Order.
Yeah, exactly.
When you had to hear that every week for like a year and a half.
There's a reason he never got elevated beyond the like first hour of Nitro.
That's true. They would like get rid of him and bring in Bobby.
Yeah, they were like, no. No. But they would even keep Tanay, which was more hilarious. Yeah. Like, it's like, wow, you really suck.
He was pretty bad. He was hard to listen to. His voice is so annoying. Like,
well, you know, Steve Dahl was trying to get an offensive going, but the mauler, he just got reversed right there. The mauler runs him down.
New World Order. Yeah, exactly.
That. So, I don't know. He came first to my mind, Quinn. I don't know. What do you have in mind besides Mike McGurk?
Okay. What about the Duke of Doherty?
Duke Doherty, folks.
In the same vein as Mike McGurk.
Yeah, but Duke Doherty, like, for whatever reason, is so much more grating and terrible.
Oh,
like, Mike McGurk was bad, but...
Yeah.
Duke Doherty.
Jake the Snake is gonna get squished tonight by the Zika.
What else is there to say about him than that he's not like, this match is bad. He's taking a poop.
He sounds like Seth Rollins mixed with Stephanie McMahon on helium. Like, he's terrible.
But he was only in the Boston area. Am I correct about that?
I don't think he did
much
else.
But he does appear on a lot of house shows. Like, a lot.
I've heard him a bunch of times. Yeah,
like, way too much.
He sucked.
Yeah. Was it that Boston people were used to him or something? Like,
I guess, but like, if most of the people in Boston were at the show, so they didn't have to hear him.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, I don't know why he exists. Like
he was
horrible in the ring, too.
Yes,
like,
he was.
He was just an overall bad wrestling personality. Just like,
he was a Golden Terror.
Was he?
I think so.
Well, that's unfortunate. The Golden Pea Stain. Duke of Doherty.
All right.
I think he's like, would you say he's on there? I mean, like, he's awful.
He's worse than Larry Zbyszko.
Yeah.
I don't know that we can find much worse, but we're talking color guys. Are there any really bad play-by-play guys?
I got kind of one,
right,
but I don't
ahead.
Know. Again, I don't know if it's going to fall in the Art Donovan, but I feel like it was enough.
What?
Oklahoma.
No, that was a gimmick. No. Oklahoma is one of the worst things I've ever heard happen.
Oklahoma. Oh, man.
That was really bad.
I He could. I mean, it was on a lot of nitros, like, for a while.
No,
it
wasn't
like,
that
Thunder
bad.
And stuff.
He,
remember Thunder?
Yeah, remember Thunder. Yeah. Review WCW Thunder. Hey, yeah. By the way, we had said a while back,
right.
If we get 2 iTunes reviews that mention that,
yeah.
We would review WCW Thunder.
One
We've more. Only gotten one, Ruben Vasquez Jr.,
right. So,
our main man right there.
One more review WCW Thunder, and we're there.
Hey, by the way, if I know you're listening just in hand. Have you left us an iTunes review yet? Because if not, you need to, buddy.
Yeah.
You can't be the super fam. And Borden, I know you're out there.
You guys can do it.
Anyway,
you know,
back to the announcers here.
Oklahoma, no.
I know. That's not what I'm talking about.
I know. I just need to throw him out there because he is horrible.
Fine. He is horrible.
Now,
go ahead.
Since that one doesn't count, yeah. And what about Cole?
No. Because as hard as he can be to listen to sometimes,
right.
His overall body work, I know you don't like him. Sometimes you're a little unfair to him. He is not the worst announcer I've ever heard. No
like,
way.
Okay, here's the problem with Cole to
He's
me.
Not,
Let me. Here's just my argument for why Cole is horrible.
Go ahead.
It's simply just because of the fact that we always say how like it's good to put over the product, right?
Sure.
But the way he does it is in such an overly shilly, like transparent, I can just tell that, like, why he's doing what he's doing. And I just don't consider that a quality of a good announcer.
All I know is I've been doing that show for 337 episodes, so I must be doing something right. And what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing?
It's less of a reflection on him than it is of the way WWE operates now, though. He has had great moments. And he was awesome with Taz on SmackDown.
Fair enough.
And he was very good with the original version of JBL, not like the Maggle version.
Maggle.
The like heel version.
The heel, like mid late 2000s JBL. He was very good with him.
Right.
I don't think Cole is as bad as sometimes you think, or maybe even I think. He's decent.
Okay, but at least we addressed him.
We addressed
because
Cole.
Because I know people would ask, because a lot of people don't like Cole.
I know.
I get it.
And
I don't like
Trust
Cole.
Trust me, I don't really either, but I wouldn't call him amongst the worst.
Okay.
I mean, Byron Saxton is worse than him.
I don't understand. Oh, I don't understand how the WWE Universe eliminates Byron Saxton.
And I don't think even Byron.
What about Byron?
I don't even think he can make it. He hasn't been doing it long enough. Do you think? I mean,
it's been a I feel
few
like he's
years
been there
now,
since
right?
like 2011 or something. Like,
I don't know.
It's a while. Like, Byron sucks.
He's bad. Like, he's actually bad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Byron is just like a stooge. Like,
he is.
I know Coach was very stoogey, but Byron is another level, like,
yeah,
a bad.
Coach was pretty bad, too.
Yeah, but Coach actually became, like,
as a
gimmick. Like, yeah,
fun,
he
yeah.
became fun, so
right.
it's like, I kind of, like,
okay.
forgive Coach,
because
he was decent.
He was decent.
Yeah.
You know who is really...
oh, no.
I'm sorry. JBL is pretty bad overall.
Faggle.
I know I said Cole was good with the original version.
You know what
of
I don't
him?
Like about JBL is he comes off as like very insincere. And then,
oh my god! And the Wikipedia reading.
Yeah,
or
I was just
going to
say the Wikipedia is the other thing. It's the fact that it sounds like he's at his worst at the Royal Rumble every year.
Every year that he did the Royal Rumble,
like, do you know he's been in for 15?
Yeah.
Which, no, shut up!
I know
that's greater than Bad News Brad.
Yeah.
Like you just looked at Wikipedia just now. Like there's no way that you knew that Bad News Brown at like 10 minutes and 36 seconds into the Rumble was like there.
What's important is the spot 25. Hulk Hogan has entered twice, 91 and 91.
You know what I mean? Like
the worst version of watching Raw in the modern era, besides the, whatever content was going on, was when the commentary team, and I'm not crappy on King here,
yeah,
was Cole, JBL, and King. Oh my god, that was insufferable.
It was insufferable primarily not, and I always think King gets the big blame for this.
But it was JBL.
But it was because JBL was butting into King's space.
He was
like,
awful.
Yeah. It was
oh,
like, go
Maggle,
away.
They're having fun, Maggle. I love when the crowds boo Roman Reigns.
I hate when JBL starts talking about things that they're going to do after the show. It's like,
yeah,
I'm not here
sometimes.
To listen to how you and Cole are buddies off camera.
Yeah, that was
like,
bad, too.
Like, enough.
That was bad, too.
Yeah.
You know who's worse? Don West. Fuck Don West. He sucked.
He takes them both out right there. Yes! Yes! Yes!
Don West is awful. But you know what? I can one up your Don West.
Okay.
Steve Corino.
Super kick!
Yeah.
Super kicks!
I know people think that's good.
No.
They're wrong.
He's just overall bad. I think Steve Corino, we don't even have to say much. Steve Corino is just annoying.
Yes.
And I cannot, he's on there. Like,
okay,
please,
you know what?
Like, please, he is bad.
I'll turn my key.
Yep.
Die.
There you go.
Steve Corino's number one
on
there.
And throw the Duke on there while we're at it.
I don't think we're going to get too much lower than those two.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know what? Folks, if you've never listened to Duke Doherty, Pete, the Duchess of Dorchester.
The Duke of Dorchester.
I always call him the Duchess.
Is he a lady?
maybe. He's almost unlistenable. Like, he ruins what you're listening to.
Like, actually bad. Yeah.
So, you know who else goes on there? The Duke is on there.
Die.
You know who I just thought of?
Who?
Rob Bartlett. From Raw.
That was kind of good. If you're going to not allow Mike McGurk and all that to be on there.
And Oklahoma.
Yeah, he was like, what, 5 episodes of Raw or something?
It was the first 3 months, but okay, point taken.
Yeah.
Point taken. All right, so I won't put him on there. Now, I wouldn't put Mooney or Hayes on there.
No.
I know people like to say they're bad, but they're just not listening.
They're lovable.
They're not listening.
Yeah, there's things going on there. And
they're
fun in those segments
between. They are.
Yeah.
People that crap on either of the two of them, you're just not listening, folks. Just take a listen.
Yeah, you have to just...
They're charming.
You have to just enjoy it.
They try to put the matches over. They really do.
They try. Speaking of boys, though, you know who's really, really bad?
Who's really bad?
Josh Matthews.
Have you heard him on TNA?
He is so bitter
that
he doesn't work. Like, that's just unprofessional and bush league to me. Like,
it is.
Speaking of hyenas, have you ever tried to grill a hyena?
No.
Cover here by Jade Hooks Bulkplex. No one ever has, but that's a great segue for me to remind everyone to catch an all new episode of Barbecue Pitmasters.
But the thing is he was good at one point.
Yeah, until his nose bled, and then that was the end of him.
He was good with Matt Stryker. A lot of people don't like Stryker. I like him.
Yeah, I can't throw Stryker on there.
No.
Especially in Lucha.
I like Vampiro. Also
yeah, I know. I know Vampiro does get a lot of flack though.
He's annoying.
Like
he is annoying.
But I feel like that's like the purpose of Vampiro. Like,
bro, what the fuck?
Yeah, he just curses. Like, what? Like, oh, we're on El Rey. We can say whatever we want. Like,
shit.
Yeah,
this is bullshit.
Yeah.
The clock is at 2. You're right. He's not down. You're right. Whoa. How do you really feel?
Yeah, and the fact that you can't even put Vampiro in just because he's like a character on the show on
he's
top
a character.
Of it. Like, he's actually like a person that, like, there's like a background story, and like,
he's crazy.
Like,
he's
got
pills.
Like, what announcer is on pills? Like, that, and they talk about it. Like, so no Vampiro.
Okay, no Stryker.
No Stryker, yeah.
Todd Grisham, fuck Todd. He's so vanilla that it doesn't matter.
with him,
it's like, who cares?
Mike Adamley.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You did it.
Yeah.
No. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Elevation on that dick.
Yeah. You're making me crazy. We talked about
reach
him.
Reach out and touch someone.
Wow.
He did it long enough, too, to justify being on this.
Yeah. It was like a year.
However long it was.
It was on ECW for quite a long
time. He was on weekly television.
Yeah.
Long enough. And let's compare him. Worse than Joey Styles.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Far worse.
Because he replaced Joey Styles, right?
Right.
Worse to listen to than Michael Cole? What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, at least Adam Lee's entertaining.
He had a good voice, I always say.
Well, Adam Lee's entertaining for all the wrong reasons, but yes. But he's,
come on.
He's better. He's worse than Cole. Yeah.
Okay. Worse than JBL.
Well, JBL is just a constant annoyance. Like,
he is. He's like a ring in your ear that won't go away.
There's like worse people. Like
Booker
on the
T was pretty bad, by the way. He was bad.
Booker T makes me laugh, though. Booker T makes me laugh just because it's like he just garbles his words a lot. And
Stevie Ray was bad on Thunder too in the
90s. That's a good pick, but Stevie Ray not long enough, right?
No, I mean yes, but no.
Yeah.
If
Big
Adam
Booty Daddy, whatever he says.
Now we've only put two very very bad color commentators on there before we try to throw any more on. Can you think of any really bad play-by-play guys? I know you mentioned Cole. anyone else that regularly did play-by-play that was awful?
Well, wasn't Adam Lee supposed to be play-by-play?
Oh, you're right.
Was
yeah.
not.
Yeah,
the,
no,
he was
no. Adam
color.
Lee was play-by-play. You're right.
So then
Josh Matthews is play-by-play.
I think Adam Lee would be the worst. Bruce Pritchard was pretty terrible.
Yeah, that was so brief.
Yeah.
That was, that's, he doesn't count.
Yeah.
He was okay. Stan Lee was okay.
Oh, you know who somebody we're forgetting?
Who?
Superstar Billy Graham.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh!
And Piper.
Graham's worse than Piper.
Yeah.
Piper's bad.
Yeah.
Ah! Yeah. But Graham's like always like, and then my god daddy Da Morocco.
Yeah, it's like the worst version of Dusty on commentary.
He hit a solid rock, brother, a piece of marble. Look at Dama. I love that man like a brother. He's come to my aid and saved literally my wrestling career, my life, my health, my spirits. I love that man like a brother.
It is. It's like Dusty, but like the worst version of him.
What about like
Billy
Cruz
Graham
or whatever?
Chris Cruz is okay.
Yeah, you don't mind him.
Michael
what about
Hayes?
Stan Lane?
He was good.
Yeah.
He was yeah. pretty good.
Michael Hayes.
He was fine.
Sonny.
She only did shotgun a few times.
Yeah.
Jim Cornette was okay.
No, Jim Cornette was fine.
You know what? You might be on to something here.
Adam
with,
Lee?
With, no, no.
What?
With Billy Graham.
Oh, Billy Graham, yeah. Both could be on there.
That is somewhat, no, I know. But here's the thing. Adam Lee, he had a brief little, well, I guess Graham didn't do it long either, but like,
yeah.
Billy Graham.
He should have been better. Like that
should have been
like,
better.
That's what's more frustrating about it is like, why does he suck so much? I'll tell you one thing. One reason I don't like to watch, I think it's SummerSlam.
Slam 88.
88 is because he's the commentator.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
If that's a that's a classic show.
Yes, it is.
If you don't want to watch it because of the commentator,
that's right.
Then he falls in line, right? Put him in there. Get him.
You know what? Billy Graham sucked as an announcer. There's no way around it. He's in Death Valley.
Yeah.
Die, die, die.
Right.
I want to make a point real quick, because I've read people on certain blogs and things like that that say the announcers don't matter.
It matters tremendously.
Yeah, you're full of shit if you think that.
Yeah,
you know what? Watch a movie with the sound down then, too, while you're at it.
We've watched shows where it was insufferable
it matters.
Because of the announcing.
They're your narrators. They're your hosts. They carry you through.
I think one of the primary examples of just the bomb of bad announcing teams was Bruce Pritchard, Mike McGurk, and Duke Doherty on one team.
Yeah, that
for that show.
That was rare.
Yeah, I know it was rare, but I'm just saying that puts the point out there that like go listen to that.
Yeah.
And see how like insufferable it is. Like
exactly.
It's just like even though there's like probably stuff you might want to see on that show,
right?
You don't want to see it because they're there.
I agree. Now I used to not like Rod Trongard, but I came around on him.
He's fine.
He is.
Yeah, he's okay.
Trying to think of anyone. We have one spot open, right?
Yeah.
It might have to go to Adam Lee, but again, I feel almost bad because he was in over
been
his head.
Joe.
I know.
He should have been better because he at least did the news and stuff. Like like being a commentator should be like second nature. Everything he did was bad in the
it's
WWE.
True.
Like
it's true. All right. Is he worse than Josh Matthews?
Yes. What about Larry Zbysko?
Here's why I want to lean with Zbysko, is because this dude did pay-per-views and he was on weekly television
stuff.
For way too long.
He did a lot of things.
I almost feel like Adam
you're
Lee
just
gets
gonna
a pass.
Say, you're going to say he gets a pass, but I mean, he did every ECW for like a while.
Not that long.
You have to remember that was on every week.
Yeah, but he was only the announcer for like 3 or 4 months on ECW. He was around for a year, but he only did.
So you're really going to tell me that Nabisco is worse than Mike Adam Lee? One of the like most notably bad things in everything he did. I hate Larry.
I know,
but he might not be worse than Adam Lee.
He's not a worse announcer than Mike Adam Lee. You're correct.
Mike Adam Lee didn't even know what he was doing. Like, it's basically like, let's do Art Donovan for 4 months instead of one show. Like,
you know what, Quinn? With that said, I don't think I can argue. You nailed it.
Die, die, die.
Yeah.
He's on there. Folks, that's our Death Valley of professional wrestling commentators. Let us know. I'm sure we've overlooked some people.
Yep.
We do this on the fly here.
Right.
Let us know. You can tweet at us at OVP Podcast. You can email us at OVPPodcast@gmail.com. And
of
course,
leave a comment
yes.
on the website, OVPPodcast.com.
We'll be right back after this.
Look at the beak on Frankie, huh? That reminds me of your nose.
Ah, yes, the preposterous.
What?
My nose?
Yeah. You're insinuating I have a big nose, McMahon?
Sort of a unique nose. It's first been splattered across your face several times.
You know what they say out in Hollywood about me, McMahon?
Why is it everything you know with you is Hollywood?
You know why I'm going to make it out there, McMahon?
Why?
Because I have Paul Newman's eyes, I have Kirk Douglas's chin, and I have Robert Duvall's haircut. How can I miss?
You have Fatty Arbuckle's rear end as well.
You're listening to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, the fastest growing weekly episodic retro wrestling audio podcast in the world.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Quinn, it's time for our last segment. We're reviewing something.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. This is the exciting part of the show, don't you think?
This is the fan favorite moment.
Yes, exactly.
They wrote in.
yeah, sure.
This time, for this one.
No, this time this is our pick, not a fan request, although we do have those.
Yeah.
This time we sat down and we watched WCW Pro from January 18th, 1992. But there is a caveat here.
Yes, a very special caveat.
We did not just watch WCW Pro. No. We watched the WGN Chicago version.
Which, by the way, I didn't know that this was a separate thing going in. I'm not going to act like I was some smart guy and thought, let's get the Chicago version because it's different. Like, no.
right.
We were looking for WCW Pro, like 91 or 92-ish.
Yeah.
And now, we bumped into this.
It's from WrestleReel. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but you know what? I think we are because
it's on the public
it's
YouTube.
It's on the public YouTube. So it's from WrestleReel. We don't have an endorsement from him or anything.
No.
And what was WCW Pro? It was a syndicated show that started in 1986, and basically, I don't know what level, Quinn and I were trying to figure it out. It's not their A or B show,
it's like a C show.
Yeah, it's a C show. It's either like their Challenge or their All-American.
It's like Velocity or something.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And it was syndicated from 86 to 98, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I don't know who was watching it in 98.
I was very surprised to hear 1998 that people were still watching WCW Pro.
It is a little strange, a little odd.
Yeah.
But there was also a couple of localized versions that aired in the early 90s. One of them was sent to WPIX Channel 11 in New York, our market. And there was another one that was sent to WGN, the Superstation Chicago.
Now, would you like to elaborate on the differences between the two?
Yeah,
because I think they're very significant in this case.
The main difference is that the New York version used the announcers Jim Ross, who we mentioned, and Paul Heyman, who we mentioned.
Right.
The Chicago version featured Tony Schiavone and a Chicago Cubs broadcaster, not Harry Carey, Jack Brickhouse.
Yes.
We'll get to all that.
Brick. House. Yeah.
So, we have a cold open here from last week, and it opens with the Dangerous Alliance.
They're beating the crap out of the Stinger.
They
and
are.
Some other guy, too.
I think it might have been Bagwell.
I couldn't catch it because his head was like in a headlock.
we couldn't tell who it was.
And they weren't really saying his name.
Right.
That's bad.
Yes.
Like, why wouldn't you at least tell us who it is?
I think it might have been Bagwell. Now, we always like to talk about the intros to these shows. There isn't one.
I don't think I saw one.
Yeah. There's no intro, so we can't comment on
there. There is no intro. Yeah.
We just open with a match. This is a match.
Yeah.
And it's Quinn. It's a WCW U.S. Tag Team Champions.
We don't even get the real tag champs on this show. Get the United States tag champs.
It's the Young Pistols, and that is Steve Armstrong, not even Brad. Steve Armstrong and Tracy Smothers.
Can I say something about these two?
Yes.
I know they're not ripping off the Smoking Guns because they're not out
yet. It's before the Smoking Guns.
But they're like a worse version than them. They're like glittery and golden and stupid.
Just as mullety.
Yeah.
Just as mullety.
Crappy.
Now, they've recently turned heel, apparently. We gather that from
the commentary. Yeah.
They're facing the Patriots. This is a fantastic team.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't involve the Patriot either.
Yeah.
It involves Todd Champion.
And can I say this name?
Yes.
Firebreaker Chip. First of all, what is a firebreaker?
What is a firebreaker?
And who the hell calls himself Chip as a wrestler? That doesn't sound intimidating.
No, it doesn't. That was Becky's first boyfriend on Roseanne.
Yeah, that's true.
Chip. What boyfriend? Chip.
Well, we'll hear from Roseanne later on in this show. I mean, it's true.
Randy Anderson is the ref, and they've got the stripey ref
yes,
shirt
they do.
Here.
Yeah, they do.
Interesting.
And I had said, are the Patriots the prototype for the WCW power plant?
Yeah, what did you mean there?
What I meant by that is that they just look like two guys that in the mid-90s they would say, they're from the power plant, because they're just muscly, like generic,
yeah.
Like nothing.
Nothing.
Like, they're just guys they found off the street, like, that look muscular.
And maybe can wrestle, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't get an intro, so we had to piece this together, but Shivani's by himself. He's clearly by himself.
So, Mr.
Announcing.
Brick House didn't show up.
No, he did not.
No, he's not there.
This is just shitty.
What? This ruins the whole show for me.
Right hand to the side of the head. Chip going after both men.
I can't.
Shivani by himself?
Like, I'm bored in the first match.
As good as Shivani is, he's not meant to be by himself.
No.
The crowd, Quinn, they look like they're sitting at like an orthodontist lecture. I yeah. swear, they're
they
sitting there
look
bored.
So bored. This must have been the 17th hour of taping at this point.
I know.
That's my guess.
They didn't even say if this is for the belts, by the way. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I was asking you this halfway through the match, yeah. I believe. And I right here, I just say, man, Shivani sucks by himself, which
he does.
You know, yeah. He does.
Only a few people have pulled it off. One of them is Joey Styles.
Yeah, Joey Styles is probably the best single man team of all time.
Unless you like Suplex.
But Suplex was with other people sometimes. Most of the time.
Now, Quinn, you said to me the Sexy Pistols. What are they called?
I can't remember their names, so that says a lot about them. Like, like they literally just told us, and I'm like, who are these people?
And then you say to me, why is this so boring? I don't even have any comments. It's awful.
We were sitting there for the first match, and usually me and you are bantering back
yes.
and forth. We were just like silently watching a headlock. Like, there was just nothing to say.
It's true. Now, I want to say about Firebreaker Chip, his tights say Chip in glitter.
Yep. And then I say, I didn't realize Tracy Smothers had a clone. Wait, which one's Tracy Smothers?
That was the best. And I think it was actually Steve Armstrong that yeah. was in the ring when you said that.
I can't tell the difference. They did look the same.
Yes, they did. Now, there is one highlight, Quinn. You noted it. There's a dropkick into a belly-to-back suplex that gets two for Smothers and Steve.
Right.
It was a cool finisher. It could have been.
Could have been finisher.
Yeah.
And then I say, how did they find a way to bore the shit out of me in less than 5 minutes?
That's true.
Seriously, there was like this was like switch the channel television. Like,
it was.
This was like,
it was awful.
And not that they were competing. It was probably on at like Saturday at like 2 p.m. or something.
Probably. Yeah. Chip is so shitty, honestly. His name is just better off being Potato Chip.
And then I said, and this literally happened.
Yeah.
I said, actually, I want some potato chips. So I went to the closet there, the pantry,
yes.
and I got some
beer and brought
potato chips, which, by the way, Lay's usually like really blows it with these custom
yes.
flavors. Joe, you can confirm.
You made me try one.
You
Excellent.
Were very apprehensive about
I
trying
was.
It.
Well, because I've dealt with the chicken and waffles.
Right, exactly. And then you tried it and you were like, wow, these are really good. And
I
would say they're akin to the Works potato chips from the 90s. That
the
they don't,
Ruffles.
Ruffles Works.
Those were excellent.
They're very close. It's the closest I've seen to the Works.
I agree with you. Excellent chip.
Yeah.
So you come back in, Quinn, and you're like, what did I miss? A chin lock?
And that's exactly what was happening when I came back.
Now, the best part of this match, this sums up the show. Chip gets the hot tag to, like, zero reaction.
No one cares. Yeah.
No one cares.
And I go, here comes Robert Gibson. What's the name of this guy? Sergeant Craig Pittman? I couldn't... He was, like, military man. I just didn't... What's his name?
Todd Champion. Yeah. So the Sex Pistols get the win after whatever. I don't know. God save the queen!
And then I say, you're telling me that guy came in off a hot tag and gets pinned with a light punch to the face?
That's pretty much what happened.
It was
awful. Embarrassing. Hot tag, no one cares, yeah. punch.
Light punch, no less.
Yeah. So then we cut to Shivani, finally.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, Quinn, you noted he has this puffy short hair?
Yeah, it's like more like golden brown, like it's been sitting in the sun or something.
An obvious green screen behind him.
Yeah, but I mean, it's no worse than like Challenger or
Yeah. So our next match is
your notes are good here. It says Mr. Hughes with Harley Hughes versus Big Josh.
All right, so I obviously meant Harley Race.
Yes, you did.
So it's Mr. Hughes,
Yeah.
Second of all, Quinn, you took issue with him being managed.
Yeah, I said, why does Mr. Hughes need a manager? Isn't he basically a manager? It's a manager with a manager wrestling.
Yeah, and of course, we all know your grudge against Harley Race to begin with.
Well, I mean, he did cut me in line. He's a big jerk.
So he's fighting Big Josh. That's Matt Bourne. I'll speak on him in a little while, but we immediately after the entrances, we throw to a completely backstage promo, not an insert
this
promo.
This is weird because this should have belonged in a little box at the bottom or something, but instead it's an interview by Eric Bischoff with Rude, Austin, and Paul Lee.
Yep, the Dangerous Alliance, part of them. Austin, we notice, he looks like an idiot back
this
there.
Is right before like he became anything. At this point he's just like a young hot shot and he just stares into the sky and doesn't why is he there.
But he's got like that shitty blonde hair,
his
long,
hair looks like crap,
and he's got like the Greg Valentine robe, like he just looks stupid,
just not his look.
No, but a good promo by Paul as always.
And then I go, why did we have to prolong Big Josh versus Mr. Hughes for this?
Exactly, like, it could have been an insert promo, shave some time off the show. Now why is an average-sized guy, Matt Bourne, the original doink.
WrestleMania 1.
And WrestleMania 1. Why is he called Big Josh?
I don't get it.
He's not
like,
big.
I'm not really sure. And his opponent,
much bigger.
Much bigger
now,
than
Quinn,
him.
You told me Big Josh is like a name you would have thought of while doing backyard wrestling as a kid.
Yes, I mean, that's the generic name some kid, like, I'm the swashling swashbuckler or something, and you have like a creative name, and then your friend goes, I'm Big Bill. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's what Big Josh means to me.
It was like a lumberjack gimmick, but he kind of looked like Skinner with a blue shirt.
He just was Skinner. Like, Skinner Doink, whatever.
Hey, Doink was played by Skinner. We can't tell if the ref's Nick Patrick. It wound up not being Nick Patrick, but I couldn't tell.
It wasn't him. It was like Randy Anderson or something.
It wasn't Randy Anderson either. It was some other guy. He looked like the Pringles guy. This is awful, by the way.
Yeah, this is a horrible match.
So Vader runs in and nails Josh for the DQ.
Yeah, good.
Prompting you to say, like, Quinn, why?
Yeah, I say, may I ask why Mr. Hughes needs help against Big Josh?
Right.
Like, why?
It's Mr. Hughes.
It's Big Josh. Who's not big? Tiny Josh.
His name's not even really Josh.
Little Josh. Oshkosh Bagosh Josh.
So Vader and Hughes do the beatdown on Big Josh or Oshkosh Bagosh.
Yeah.
And the Steiners charge in to fight them off. And I swear the crowd's still not reacting to anything.
No. This is, we're in hour number 17. Yeah. And they're done with this. They don't care.
I just want to state for the record, because I usually do this, the ring announcer is the one and only Gary Michael Capetta, by the way.
Famous ring announcer, WWF
ring announcer.
And WCW.
Yep. So we get our next match. One of them is good. It's Cactus Jack.
And the other is not.
El Gigante.
Oof. So, otherwise known as Giant Gonzalez in the World Wrestling Federation.
That's right. The World Wrestling Federation. What is this doing on TV?
Now, okay. I had a little hope that maybe Foley could carry Gigante to something.
No one can.
No. No, they can't.
Now so, Nick Patrick's the ref, by the way.
And this is where I say, Mick Foley versus Giant Gonzalez is something I never wanted to see. Why would you waste Foley's talents on this?
I totally agree with you, Quinn.
That's what I had said. I don't get why you would waste Foley on this.
The thing with and I said this to you while we were watching, the thing with El Gigante, Giant Gonzalez, whatever you want to call him, that WCW missed, and Vince, I mean, they put him in a stupid bodysuit, but they portrayed him right.
Yeah.
They try to portray this 7-foot whatever guy as like a regular wrestler.
Yeah, it's like a happy-go-lucky face.
Right, that does wrestling moves.
Almost like he's unaware that he's like taller than everybody.
When you have a guy over 7 feet tall, he kills people in 8-second squashes.
He shouldn't be skipping to the ring, like, all happily.
In tights, and like short tights.
Like, I'm here!
Yeah.
No.
He should have been a heel?
What is he, a cruiserweight? Like,
right.
It's stupid.
He came out like freaking Alex Wright or something. You know, he should have been a heel, and he should have killed people in short squashes.
Yeah, exactly, and not fight Cactus in like a struggle.
Right. Did you notice how stupid Nick Patrick's hair was?
Yeah, and he didn't have the mustache either.
He just awful.
Yeah, he didn't look right. So this is where I noticed. I say there's a guy. Well, you had said there's a guy in the crowd picking his nose,
right.
And then I noticed right next to him that there's season one Roseanne just like there, like Roseanne from the show Roseanne, like sitting next to him.
It looks just like her, I swear.
It was real.
It's not
like,
really Roseanne.
I'm like, do you believe this? Like, I couldn't believe it.
So, Gigante hits Jack with a big foot. for Shivani.
Shivani. That, I love Shivani, but sometimes he just says some really stupid crap.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Was El Gigante wrestling barefoot?
No.
Oh, okay.
You had boots on.
Oh, then it's a big boot, Shivani.
Oh, it's a big
foot. Not a big foot. Big foot is the guy that walks through the woods and he's all hairy.
It's when you dropkick someone big feet. Like,
yes, I don't. It is, actually. So Mr. Mullet here, Nick Patrick, DQs L Gigabyte for claw holding on the ropes. Well, like, what was that?
It was for like 3 seconds, too. Like, it wasn't even very long. It was very abrupt.
He had the claw hold on Cactus Jack for like, I guess a little bit too long for Nick Patrick's liking.
But Cactus was on the ropes. Yeah. That's why he was counting.
Right, but it was just like, it shouldn't have been a DQ. Anyway, the jobbers now hit the ring. Like, random jobbers hit the ring to try to pull Gigante off of him. And then Abdullah the Butcher wanders in.
Toddles in.
Yeah, really. And hits El Gigante with
a mop.
A mop. I swear it's a mop.
This is real.
They try to say it's like some, like, I don't know, Sudan
ceremonial
stick
or something.
It's a mop.
It literally has like a mop on the end of it. Like, it's
it's
not
a mop with this rug wrapped around it.
But they're
it or
not
going
to tell you that.
And then even though Abdullah saves Cactus Jack, Cactus Jack attacks him.
Yeah, a lot of Nuska and and then they're just like fighting all over the place.
Quinn, you have a problem with Abdullah.
And I go, what is the appeal of Abdullah the Butcher? He looks like shit. Like, seriously, like, why is he considered so terrible? Like, he bleeds on people. Like,
he has forks in his tights.
Yeah, he's always got stuff hanging out of his fat tights, and his boobs are.
You really don't like him.
I just don't get him. Maybe I'm missing something. I've seen a bunch of Abdullah the Butcher stuff, and like, I remember him being hyped on the internet back in the day.
Yeah,
and I was like, I didn't get it. I still don't get it.
I still don't get it either.
Yeah.
No, I didn't realize this. Doug Dillinger is somehow already there.
Yeah, this is really good. And then as they pass by Doug Dillinger rolling to the back, some ref starts choking Abdullah the Butcher.
What was that?
Like, it's like the reverse of what should be happening.
They're like choking each other. They're like Bart and Homer Simpson or something.
I was very taken aback.
I had to rewind it.
Yeah, you didn't believe me almost. Like, I was like, I can't believe this.
Why,
like,
were the ref and Abby choking each other? It was amazing. So then, Quinn, your favorite part of the show. We cut to the Wrestling News Network, the WNN, with Gordon Soley.
Yeah, and then I say, hey, he's Larry King. Like, it looked like the Larry King live interview thing from the 90s, like, with the CNN logo that's WWN instead,
and it's blue instead of yellow,
and Gordon Soley's got the Larry King glasses on. Like, it's just Larry King live wrestling edition.
And honestly, who even cares what he's saying? It's just some bullshit to fill time.
Yeah.
Apparently Lex Luger won WCW Magazine's Wrestler of the Year.
What a high honor.
WCW World Heavyweight Champion Lex Luger received another award this past week when he was named WCW's Magazine Wrestler of the Year.
WCW Magazine?
Yeah.
It's not even WWF Magazine? Or like the Wrestling Observer, or like the Wrestler, or any of those? The
Inside
Aftermags?
Wrestling. Wait. What did you just say to me, Quinn?
The Aftermags?
No. You can't say that. You know why?
Why?
Don't call them the Aftermags.
Because Bill After says so.
Okay, Bill.
So then we get comments from the line cutter himself, Harley Race.
Harley Race. Yeah. He talks.
And he looks... Speaking of Roseanne.
Yeah, I say he looks like Dan Connor. Like, from... Why is this such a heavily Roseanne-influenced episode of WCW Pro?
I don't know, but I'm fine with Roseanne. Yeah. Especially in 92. It was great. Anyway, suplay here. And then we get a clip of Vader versus El Gigante in Japan.
So I guess this explains why El Gigante has, like, a patch on his, like, face or whatever when he came. We didn't mention that.
He was burned by Vader's, like, mask chest
shield
protector
thing from Power Rangers. That he has.
Next week I'll look at Super Brawl 2,
WrestleMania 2.
I'm Gordon Sully. Suplex. So our next match, Quinn,
oh boy,
you love this. It's first of all, the jobber is Doug Taylor, like James Ellsworth but older.
It's quite remarkable how, like, usually jobbers have a certain level of bad. This guy just looked like he didn't belong there.
He looked fat. Like, he looked like he was their accountant.
Yeah.
That somehow, like, they were like, oh, crap, we don't have a wrestler to fight PN News. Can you go out there, Ted? And he...
So, and he looked like shit.
PN News is his opponent.
Yeah.
What was PN News? He was horrible. That's what he was. And everyone knows it.
He was basically like, remember Mabel and Mo?
Yeah.
He was that, but just before and fatter.
And worse.
Yeah.
Literally like, way somehow
more,
worse.
Like, when I say fat, like, I like big guys like Vader and stuff, but he's not fat. He's, like, big and in shape. PN News is, like, literally, like, looks like obese.
Right.
Like his stomach is hanging over, like, by
the
a
floor.
Lot. Yeah. Like, it's, so, it's bad. It's not good.
He gets on the mic and he raps on a golden mic.
Yeah, WCW wasting money once again on PN News.
Yo, baby, yo, baby, yo.
Yo, baby, yo, baby, yo.
PN News looks like a horrible attempt at anything, I say.
At anything.
Yeah.
Now, a big, giant, fat top rope splash gets the win for PN News.
Yeah, in like
PN
a
News.
Second.
Quinn? I'm afraid I've got some PN News.
Yeah, PN News won.
So, then we get Jack Brickhouse bonus.
Brick.
House. What is the Jack Brickhouse bonus, Quinn?
It's him talking like he's giving like, you know, like when Mickey Rooney would talk on freaking 60 Minutes or no, whatever.
First of all, I didn't catch that when you said it initially. It's Andy Rooney.
Sorry, whatever his name is. When Andy Rooney would talk on 60 Minutes, it's like literally the same thing with his signature on the corner of the screen. And he's just saying stuff about Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
You ever notice that Marcus Bagwell? Oh, that's Andy Rooney.
Yeah. Mickey
he's
Rooney.
Talking about Marcus Bagwell trying to fight Steve Austin or something.
Who cares?
The main event, I put that in quotations here because it's WCW Pro.
Yeah.
The main event is next. And it's Bobby Eaton.
Yep.
Stunning Steve Austin. And ravishing Rick Rude.
Recent
now,
Hall
that's
of Famer.
Nice. Yeah, that's right.
With Deucey, Medusa.
Yeah, they've got Medusa
and
with
Paul
them.
Heyman.
And they're facing the Sterling team. Of Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
That immediately makes it less sterling.
Yes. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, however.
Good.
And Sting.
Good.
Good names.
Good names.
Names in this match.
Decent main event for this.
Yeah, and you know what? Shivani drops something funny here. He says Sting is the people's champion. I kind of like that.
Yeah, he's the Rock.
He's the Rock.
Yeah.
If you smell what he's cooking. Now, this version of Austin, we talked about how crappy he looked.
Yeah.
He really does. He reminds me of like 95, 96 Triple H or something.
Yeah, it's just like he's like, he looks like that. They want him to be relevant, but he isn't yet.
Kind of like when Triple H first joined DX, and you're like, what is this clown doing
with
like,
Shawn
Michaels?
Guy?
Yeah.
And it's like the same with Austin here. And you know what? I mean, Austin has said in the past, like, this was when he was like paying his dues and learning the business.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not going to like.
No, it's no fault
this
of
is,
his.
Yeah, this is. He's new.
Like, he's new, and he's still good.
He's good. He's good in the ring. He just doesn't have the charisma down yet.
Yeah.
And that's cool to see because we know how capable he was later on.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Quinn, do you remember this? Rick Rude has the most comedic selling of a wrist lock that I've ever seen.
Yeah, he like dances around.
He's like,
and,
oh.
And he's, you know, reaching for Medusa and crying
on
and
a
blah, blah,
wrist
blah.
Lock. Yeah. On a wrist lock from Ricky Steamboat, who, by the way, Steamboat has his haircut like Mo from the Three
it's just
Stooges.
Just because of the bangs. He has like a Mo bowl cut.
You're wrong, Quiz Kid.
Hey, Quinn, did you know?
Yeah.
Bagwell sucks, then, now, and forever.
he should be in the WWE logo. Bagwell, then, now, forever sucks.
Yeah. Now, this is decent.
No, it's not bad.
You actually compared it to like a typical feature contest.
It's typical feature contest. It could be like the last match on a Coliseum tape.
Yeah, you know, like exactly.
That's Austin pretty much looks like shit. It's also I say
Austin does look like shit. It's mainly his hair and his tights, not his wrestling.
No,
his wrestling is good.
Wrestling's fine.
The flowery short tights.
Yeah, he's converting from the gimmick when he had Lady Blossom with
him. Yeah, his original.
Yeah, so he's being converted into this kind of like slick kind of thing.
The stunning Steve with the short hair that happens soon. The
very
shorter
soon.
Hair.
Very, very soon.
The
actually.
Hollywood Blondes version.
Yeah, he's close.
And you know what, Quinn? How is Paul Heyman only 26 here?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird, but I mean, Paul grew up like the rest of us.
He looks like old already, don't you think?
He always had an air about him. And I actually thought it was
hair about him.
No, but I always thought it was a good way that he looked like he knew what he was doing because he looked older.
Yes.
Like, even when he was young.
He looked like he'd been around the block.
Right, and I actually like that about Paul Heyman.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not looking at Paul Heyman for his looks. Like
no one is.
Yeah, so,
it's
you know,
weird.
I'm not going to get upset that he looks old at 26. He looks actually, like, pretty good. Like a veteran.
I'm just saying, I was 26 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's just weird.
Like, you could have looked like that.
So the big angle here for this match is the Sting and Rude angle.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, remember Paul E. Dangerously is trying to hold back Sting from or hold back Rude from fighting Sting?
Yeah. Like,
do you remember that?
They're like Medusa and Paul and like the whole team. Like, yeah. Yeah.
They were saving this because I know that at Super Brawl 2, I guess that was, yeah, Super Brawl 2, Sting wins the title from Luger.
Right.
So I think he goes on to feud then with Rick Rude.
So they knew what they were doing here.
They did.
Somebody whoever was booking was smart. Yeah. I mean, they didn't have much to work with because PN News is there and stuff. But,
and El Gigante.
Yeah.
I can't recall who was booking Quinn.
Yeah.
I know that Kip Fry, it was still during his era. After
he was in
Jim
charge,
Hurd.
But I don't think he was booking. Was Kevin Sullivan maybe booking at this point?
You know what? That's a good guess. I know someone. Hey, if you guys know, let us know. We're happy to hear who it was.
I always thought Kevin Sullivan was actually a pretty good booker.
He was okay. I don't know if I'd call him pretty good. He was all right.
He's okay.
Was Dusty booking again, or was he done?
I don't know. I really don't know.
It wasn't
point.
Flair, because Flair was gone.
If you know, let us know.
If you know, let us know. Anyway, right. To finish the match here, Eaton does the big top rope leg drop onto Bagwell, of course.
Like, right.
Bagwell was fighting Austin, so he does the leg drop onto Bagwell. Austin gets the pin.
Right.
And then
put over Austin.
Yeah, put over Austin. And who cares if Bagwell takes the pin?
Yeah, he sucks.
Then Rude gets a chair for, like, really no reason. He tries to just kill Bagwell with it, but Sting makes a save.
Isn't there a comment here where somebody says that the chair weighs, like, a lot or something? Or is that... Or
Shivani
said
really
that at
some point.
Chair.
It's like a heavy steel chair, yeah. Then we cut. Yeah, there's more.
Yeah.
After the main event. To this stupid promo.
Yeah.
With Eric Bischoff and Barry Windham.
Who looks... very old and tired here. I think we're at the tail end of Wyndham being
and he's
like
not
a
that
pro-
old.
Yeah,
that's
I
a
always
sad
thought
thing.
I was always concerned with why Wyndham kind of just fell off. I don't know if maybe he had a medical issue. I don't know, but
I don't mean this to sound like insensitive, but is he still alive or no?
I want to say he is. Yeah,
I don't mean that to be like mean. I just haven't heard anything about him.
Yeah, I
want to
say he's still around, but
okay.
I could be wrong.
You and I were talking, Quinn. I guess it's a good time to mention this. It was weird because Barry Windham kind of just disappeared from the mainstream.
Right.
And all he ever did after his WCW run was, like, you know, the Stalker, the new Blackjack.
Yeah,
set.
Just kind of a...
it's weird.
Yeah, he kind of just fell off, and it
he
was
did.
He was kind of a job guy, really.
And
like,
he was a big deal in the late 80s, early
90s. It's a very... I never looked into what really happened to Barry Windham, and I from all accounts I know people like him.
Yeah,
so like I'm wondering, you know, did something maybe his family?
Right.
I don't know.
No,
he
I don't
just
know
kind
either.
Of fell off.
He just kind of fell
one,
off.
One that's a mystery to me.
He does. This is a mystery to me. He's got a sport jacket on over a t-shirt.
Yeah,
in this interview
is
here?
That kind of t-shirt too with the like pocket that were popular in the 90s.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. The pocket, the left breast pocket. Anyway, the big thing here is they're promoting him against Stunning Steve. I wonder if that was any good. I don't really know too much about this era.
And again, I said what happened to this guy's career.
Yeah,
but,
it's just it's sad because he was a very good wrestler for a while. He was one of the
decent
best wrestlers that they had.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we go back to Shivani to end it. This sucked.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't very. I'm going to put it out there. It wasn't the worst thing we've ever seen.
No, it wasn't the worst thing we've ever seen, but it was so boring, Quinn. Remember about halfway through, we were considering just turning it off?
It was one of the first times we were. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't bad. It was just
boring.
It felt like there was nothing to report, really. Like,
right.
But, I mean, there was some funny stuff in there, but.
Oh, of course it was. I just want to set it in contrast to what WWF was doing at the time, because WWF gets so much fucking flack for being bad after like 1990 or something.
Right.
Guess what was going on right around this time? It's something called the Royal Rumble 92.
Yeah, one of the best ever. I mean, this is, I think, the same weekend.
It is. No, it is. It's the same weekend. I don't know if it's the same exact day or if it was a day after it was the Rumble, but it's the same weekend as Royal Rumble 92.
One of the best.
Where you've got Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan,
Roddy Piper,
Roddy Piper, The Undertaker, Sid, Randy Savage,
Shawn Michaels,
Jake Roberts, Shawn Michaels, let alone like anything on the undercard, some good wrestling matches.
Yeah.
That's the star power, right?
Right.
Sergeant Slaughter, throw him in there. Why not?
Yeah,
right?
He's fine. There.
WCW? Rick, I mean, no offense to Rick Rude. He's great.
But Rick Rude on his own, I mean, without anybody to fight, really.
Sting.
Yeah. It's Steamboat.
Mid-card.
Yeah.
Vader. Still, he wasn't Vader yet. You know what I mean?
The push wasn't in effect yet.
Right. He he wasn't like the 93 Vader.
I'll say this, though. They were doing more of an inter— I could tell that they were really into the international idea with WCW at this point.
Japan.
Yeah, which is interesting. Like, when you get Japan involved, it's never a bad thing, because it's not—
unless it's SWS.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if you're talking— they were talking about the IWGP title here. They weren't talking about, like— they were talking about New Japan.
No, New Japan. Yeah,
they were
absolutely
talking about good stuff.
They were still co-promoting with them, and they had a working agreement. Overall, it was just a very flat, very uninspired show.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like they knew the Royal Rumble was on and that they didn't matter that week, maybe.
You know what? Maybe that's a good point.
Yeah.
They were smart enough to
Brickhouse
do that kind of thing.
Didn't even show up.
Yeah. Jack Brickhouse
phones
bonus
in an interview thing or whatever.
Overall, I'll agree with you, Quinn. Not the worst thing we've ever watched. Definitely not.
No.
Not good.
Not good.
I mean, AWF from last week, infinitely more entertaining.
Yeah.
Much easier
but
watch.
That's also because AWF was kind of a spectacle, because you were like, what the hell is this?
But it was fun. It flew by. This did not fly by.
And
this—
that's not to
hard
say there wasn't good WCW stuff. I just think that this
wasn't
it. Yeah.
Exactly. So, folks, let us know what you thought of this show, if you've seen it maybe by any chance, or maybe this period of time. We'd like to hear about it. Check it out on WrestleReel. But as far as OVP Podcast is concerned, you can find us at Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can email us at OVPPodcast.com. And, of course, you can go to our website, OVPPodcast.com.
Yep.
Leave us an iTunes review if you don't mind. We would love that.
Yep. Yes, we would. And it helps people know about the show.
Helps people know about the show. So stay tuned, folks. We got Hall of Fame Bites in 2 days, this Wednesday. And on Thursday, the one, the only, the Net Cop, Scott Keith, is going to talk to us about WrestleMania.
Exciting stuff.
Exciting stuff. So until then, folks, have a great rest of your day. Have a great rest of your week. We will see you in a couple of days.
See ya.
See ya.
Fans, welcome back to Chicago's very own Channel 9. Our big six-man main event is coming up next, but right now, here's Jack Brickhouse in this week's Brickhouse Bonus.
Rookies come and go, but one that's sure to stay around for quite a while is the youngster Marcus Alexander Bagwell. Now, that's quite a name, isn't it? What sets him apart from most rookies? Well, it's simple. He's been trained by the best. Bagwell has learned his pro wrestling skills under the guidance of Mike Graham and Dustin Rhodes and Sting, and that's quite a resume. Already people are taking notice, and I'm not talking about just fans. I'm talking about promoters. Word has it that Bagwell is very close to signing a contract to vie for the World Television Championship, currently held by stunning Steve Austin. Now, if he gets the title shot, he'll become the youngest ever to wrestle for a major title in WCW. He's very young, 21 years of age. We all wait and watch the career of a man to be champion very soon. Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
Will you stop?